The Virgin in the Garden, Frederica Potter, Book 1. Written by A.S. Byatt and read by Sophie Aldred.
Prologue. The National Portrait Gallery, 1968. She had invited Alexander, whether on the spur of the moment or with malice aforethought, he did not know, to come and hear Flora Robson do Queen Elizabeth at the National Portrait Gallery. He had meant to say no, but had said yes, and now stood outside that building contemplating its sooty designation. She had also, for good measure, invited everyone else present at a very ill-assorted dinner party. Only Daniel, beside himself, had accepted. There had been a young painter there who had declared that the words national and portrait were in themselves enough to put him off, thanks. It was not, this decided person declared, his scene. It was Alexander's scene, Frederica had firmly said, and Alexander had demurred, although he had always had a fondness for the place. Anyway, he had come. He considered those words, once powerful, at present defunct, national and portrait. They were both to do with identity, the identity of a culture, place, language and history, the identity of an individual human being as an object for mimetic representation. Both mattered, or had mattered, to Alexander. He found himself, nevertheless, aesthetically amused by his surroundings. There was the black circling curve of railings, to which was tied a repeating series of pale reproductions of the Darnley portrait of Elizabeth Tudor, faded coral, gold, white, arrogance, watchfulness, announcing people, past and present. On the way, he had passed several recruiting posters for the First World War, pointing accusatory fingers at him, and a shop called I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, full of reproduced bric-a-brac of the British Empire, backed not by bugles calling, but by the universal clang and moan of amplified electric guitar. On a Shaftesbury Avenue hoarding, he had seen a monstrous image of a rear view of a brawny worker, naked to the waist, and from there enclosed in tight-buttoned red, white and blue breeches. I'm backing Britain, was scrawled across this person's bulging backside. Above him, on the steps of the National Gallery, were the peripatetic folk with the new ancient faces, Jesus boots, caftans, sporadic bursts of song or tinkling, breaking a tranquillised hush. Alexander went in. She was not there, as he might have known. The gallery had changed since his last, not recent, visit. It had lost some of its buff and mahogany Victorian solidarity and had acquired a stagey richness, darkly bright alcoves for Tudor icons on the stairway, not, he thought, unpleasing. He went up to look for the Darnley portrait, which had been removed for the performance, so he was left to sit on a bench, contemplating an alternative Gloriana, raddled, white-leaded, bestriding the counties of England in thunderstorm and sun, painted an inch thick, horsehair-topped and hennaed, heavy with quilted silk, propped and constricted by whalebone. The crowd flowed between him and the paintings. It seemed to have overflowed from the steps of the National Gallery, variously uniformed, uniformly various. Grimy thronged feet under, silky fluffed matted beards over, sari and saffron robe. Military jackets from Vietnam and the Crimea, barely sprouted moustaches and paltry thin necks popping out of gilded collars above tarnished epaulettes. Rubber-hard girls in silver tights and silver boots, with silver skirts bouncing on compact rumps. Limp girls in black velvet dangling meshed metal purses, with paper flowers in the coils and curtains of their artificial hair. Several Georges Sands, Mesdemoiselles Sacripant in trousers, frilled shirts and velvet berets. Shuffling sexless people in drooping garments made from the ill-printed Indian bedspreads that had gathered dust in the seaside attics of Alexander's childhood.